Good morning, good afternoon. And this is where the assistant director comes in with a big clipboard going, take two. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds and to the universe. I want to wish you the very best beautiful day. It is finally sunny here on the East Coast. It's still a little chilly for my tastes, but hey, I'll take the sun any day. It has been an incredible adventurous week since we last spoke on the airwaves. And I can't say, there's no way I could be more grateful for the life that I live. Last June, I was diagnosed with precancerous cells on my cervix, as most of you know, and I'm a big, big advocate for meditation. And yesterday, I found out that my cells have gone. I am negative. Woo, woo, woo. So that's great news. It's my second battle with this, and I'm just very grateful that we are clean and clear. Ooh, that was awesome. Just made my week beautiful. Friday night, my friend from Vermont, giving her a shout-out, Cindy, came down and took me out. My funometer was definitely on negative, I think. I haven't been out in a long time outside of my four walls. And we danced our little hearts out, and I was serenaded, so I want to give a big shout-out to the Peter Foley Band of Maine. He serenaded me, and that was pretty special. I felt pretty special. That was a huge funometer boost. And then Saturday, Amy set up her table for the health fair in Elliott at the Regatta. Met some amazing people, very grateful to have had that experience, and actually met face-to-face Erica Rock and Michelle Lowry, who Michelle gives the best hugs ever. So if you're listening, Michelle, thanks for the hug. That just was awesome. And some new people that are going to be coming along here this summer.
The energy in that room was incredible.
It really was.
Felt like I wasn't even, on the floor. So I had a great time on Saturday and met a lot of great people and got really encouraged to keep moving on with what I'm doing and helping every person down their journey.
Amy did a really great job. She had a very busy table. And then Cindy and I and my friend and daughter went to the beach and recharged, so that was super nice. It was freezing. I was wearing flip-flops, and my toes were pig pink because it was so cold. But the recharge was nice, and then we had a lazy Sunday, rainy, snuggle-up watching cartoons from the 1930s. My daughter is very much into Betty Boop lately, and it's the cutest thing, and I realized how different cartoons are now and how much, as a child, you don't realize racism and sexism and bullying and all of that. It was funny when we were kids, but as an adult looking back and watching these cartoons, I'm going, whoa. It was pretty amazing. So we are, I am going to Philadelphia this weekend. I will be at the Crown Plaza for a gluten-free vendor expo. So if you're down in the Philly area on Saturday, definitely poke me in the forehead. Everybody else likes to. And I look forward to meeting you in person. It's great to see and hear our fan base. And really looking forward to that trip. My phonometer is going to go up then too, I'm sure. So Amy is going to introduce our guest today, who is patiently waiting online. And if you want to call in, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number here is 347-205-9443. Excuse me. And feel free if you're sneaking us at work, which a lot of you do. I said do. sign in for your free account so that you can chat your questions in, and we'll gladly ask Janice.
Okay. Janice, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great. I'm doing great. It's a little breezy out, but, you know, I've been working. in the garden as much as I can, as you know I do. So I just want to introduce Janice. She is a holistic RN. She's been in private practice for over 20 years. I met her, oh my goodness, I want to say at least 10 years ago probably, at a holistic nurses meeting, which I miss dearly and hoping that someday we can get those going again. But I met Janice there, and it was a very funny workshop. It was called Fluffing Your Girls, and I'm hoping she'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's how I met Janice the first time and was very intrigued with all that she does. So she's a certified clinical in thermography level 3. She's a certified meditation specialist, certified in integrative healing arts, a Reiki master, an advanced clinical hypnotherapist. That's just some of the things that she does. So I'm just going to let Janice talk to you about what makes her so wonderful.
Oh, wow.
No pressure, Janice.
No pressure.
Amy goes right for it.
Well, thanks, Amy. Well, I have the pleasure of sharing a suite with Amy in Dover, and I am in the office that Amy uses Monday through Thursdays. I'm there on Fridays, so I get to benefit from Amy's use of all those wonderful oils, so it is terrific. So I do thermography in that suite in Dover. And that is the focus of my woman's health practice. And thermography is my passion. Women's health is my passion also. But thermography is a modality that is very, very underutilized. And it is a way to screen the body without any radiation, without any contact. And it looks at the way the body functions. It looks at the body's physiology, which is a snapshot of what is going on a long time before your body's anatomy and structure changes. So what that means is that if something is forming a tumor in your body, it takes usually a very long time. I was just reading a comment by a West Coast doctor saying that if something surfaces in a person's body in their 30s that is a malignant tumor, most likely the seeds of that started in their teens. So that is a very, very long time. I do a lot of breath screening. So with the breast, usually it takes, according to Dr. Susan Love, who is a renowned expert on breast health, and she has been quoted many, many times saying that it takes at least 8 to 10 years for a mass to grow in a woman's breast to the point where it is recognizable on testing. And she, of course, is referring to mammograms or ultrasounds or MRIs because those are anatomical and structural tests.
Right.
Well, the benefit of thermography is that it can detect rapidly growing cells, aberrantly growing cells, at 256 cells. That is minuscule. It is six cells.
It is.
And when something is seen at that stage, it's at a point in its evolution that it can be stopped, it can be changed, and it can be changed easily. I'm not sure. I think it was Lenore Anderson, who's an herbalist in Western Mass, said, oh, my God, that's just a good meal of kale that will eradicate that. So it's very easy at that point in a tumor's evolution to change its course because its physiology and your body's physiology changes years before its anatomy. So in my opinion, thermography, because it is safe, should be used at every female's first GYN visit to establish a baseline. Once that's established, then you could look and change the tumor evolution so that when a woman is 28, 34, 42, the tumor isn't going to express itself. So I mentioned 256 cells. for a thermogram to be able to pick up a change. And what it picks up is once a mass reaches 256 cells, it needs its own source of nutrition. So thermography, because it is physiologic, can pick up what's called neovascularity. It's mm-hmm. that blood supply to feed a tumor. It's also called angiogenesis, meaning new blood supply. So it's excellent at picking that up. And when you are looking at the number of cells uplinks, 256 cells, six is so small, it takes current structural screenings, 4.295 billion cells to be seen. So that is 8 to 10 years of growth.
So, phenomenal.
So, Janice, I'm going to put you on the spot and have you describe what this thing is. Is it a magic wand? Is it a screen that you walk through?
No.
Unfortunately, not everybody knows what the tool or...
It is actually, when you think about it, this is not something new. Hippocrates was the first practitioner to use infrared energy as a source of information. So he used to actually put mud over his patients' bodies, and the area that dried first was considered an area of physiologic dysfunction. So it took many years before we evolved, and in the middle of 1840 something, a Dr. Herschel developed these plates, and using the energy from the body, it took about 6 hours to actually image a body, and it was very, very crude, but this technology had a lot of potential. So industry latched onto it, and industry uses thermography to scan buildings to see if they are energy efficient, to see where the energy leaks are. But fire departments use it after a fire to make sure that everything is out, and also to look for heat or any, you know, human life in a building. And that's an industrial application.
So with your particular tool, is it like a three-dimensional image, or is
it is an image
of multiple colors? And
image of multiple colors, but I was just going to mention that in the Korean War, that this technology was used to track troop movements. So translating from the industrial imaging, which is designed to look down or look at an object about a mile away, as the technology became interesting to the medical arena, they actually began to change the focus so that you could have a closer image. And it was first used in the offshore oil rigs. When a diver would be ready to be brought back to the surface, he would be or she would be scanned to make sure that their physiology could withstand rising back to the surface. So it was to prevent divers from getting the bends. And then it became, in the medical arena, used in breast cancer surgery because Dr. Lawson discovered that the area surrounding a breast tumor had a higher heat profile. So that became an impetus to further refine the technology. So I use a piece of equipment that is actually called a single-plane focal array bolometer that I lovingly refer to as the camera. And it is a box probably maybe 6 inches by 9 inches, and it is on a stand, and it can go up and down the stand, and it is portable, which is why my primary practice is in Byfield, Massachusetts, but I have 11 clinics, so everything is very portable. it all fits together in a nice case, except for the stand, which is a little awkward. But what this piece of equipment does is it reads the human body's emission of infrared energy, and all objects over 0 degrees Celsius emit infrared energy. The human body is like a perfect black box. It emits 100% of its infrared energy. And it does so in very predictable patterns. They have repeated these scans over and over and over and over again on, you know, thousands of different bodies. And the patterns that indicate dysfunction, physiologic dysfunction, are very clearly evident. So it has a strong basis. There are over 800 studies in the Index Medicus on thermography. But when it, this machine is looking at an individual and just say a woman, a breast image. So a woman would come in and, you know, we would look at the paperwork. We would go over it. And any questions I would be asked, she would ask me, he or she, because men do get breast cancer too, and they do have breast sonograms. And any questions would be answered. In the meantime, the individual is acclimating to the temperature. The temperature in the room is maintained between 70 and 73 degrees always. So that is a standard protocol, and that is maintained consistently in all of my clinics. And any other thermography clinic. So then the individual would, in my practice, I use sarongs as a cover. I don't use medical johnnies or keep those horrible paper johnnies that are scratchy and crinkly and make noise. So I have these beautiful sarongs from Bali, and the patient wraps themselves in the sarong, and then they are seated on a stool that swivels. And the camera, my back is to the patient, and the camera is between the patient and myself, and I can see because the camera is connected to a computer. So I'm looking at the computer screen, and then I instruct the patient to just drop the sarong to the waist. I then take an image to establish that patient's color map, because everyone's color map is different. Your thermal fingerprint is as unique to you as the DNA of your cell, your saliva, your actual fingerprint. So I establish the patient's color map for that day. It can differ day to day, but what doesn't differ is the basic thermal pattern. So when an individual comes in for their first breast image, we will look, and then there's a series of six different images, and the posturing is that the individual puts their hands behind their head so that the chest wall and the breast area and the axillary, the armpit area, is exposed. And the energy that is emitted is captured and turned into a real-time image. So I know immediately if the patient is in the right position. I can instruct the patient to turn a little bit to the left, to the right, you know, sit up. In order to get the best framed image. And because breast tissue is different than body tissue, because it's more vascular, more lymphatic, it's rather unique. And as far as breast, as body tissue goes, the individual will be asked to come back in 90 days to establish what's called a stable baseline. And what is looked for at that 90-day visit is that the thermal patterns of that individual are the same, and that the temperature differentials, pixel to pixel, are the same. So you can have one image, and this happens frequently. When an individual comes in, we do their first series of images, and the colors are very beautiful, very graphic. You've seen them. They're lovely. And they can be, you know, more green, more blue, more yellowish. And yet when the person comes back in 90 days, that color could be different. And that is not as important as the underlying intrinsic pattern. So I do not read these images. I am very fortunate to be a member of the American College of Clinical Thermology, and I have at my access a group of wonderful MDs who are trained as in a subspecialty of thermology. So they actually come into my system, look at my images, and interpret them. And they not only look at them with their eyes, but they have $1.5 million software application that goes pixel by pixel. So in one breast frame, hands behind the head, patient facing forward, you have about 72,000 pixels. So this program is going pixel by pixel, and it's accurate down to one hundredth of a degree. So it's very, very accurate. And the 90-day visit is what is used to compare to the original scan, the original series of images, to make
now,
sure
do you have,
that there is stability.
If it's not breast, do you still require the 90 days?
No.
Okay.
That is not because the body is so predictable, it does not need to be repeated to establish a stable baseline. I do have some patients who come to about, every 6 to 9 months just to check on whether they're in treatment for different disease processes, most often a chemotherapy or a radiation treatment regimen, just to see if there's been any change, to check for metastasis to make sure that the cancer hasn't spread. So,
now, is the only thing that this machine, your lovely camera, can pull up is just cancer, or are there other elements?
No, it is. It actually will visualize pain, which I don't know of any other modality that will do that. And thermography is the gold standard of diagnostics when you're talking about a compound pain syndrome called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, in which the autonomic nervous system has gone haywire. And it really will show that area and will validate a diagnosis, which then helps for a treatment plan. But thermography is an excellent tool for vascular conditions, for neurologic problems, sciatic. It will actually look at the origination point of sciatic problems. It can look at sports injuries to see if further testing is needed. There is a kind of test that uses radioactive elements. It's called scintigraphy, and it's a very expensive test to run. And there are some clinics that will use thermography to look at the area to see if scintigraphy is warranted. Because, again, thermography can be done, 10, 15 times a day. There is no prohibition because there is no radiation involved. And this is FDA approved, by the way.
So if it's FAD approved, now this is puzzles me. Why aren't we using this more readily in allopathic medicine? Why is it still considered an alternative?
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. I get heated I get about this.
Yeah, exactly.
She gets heated too. We had this conversation at the Pink Expo.
Every hospital that should be in every large GYN practice. This this is sort of my accountant would be going to apoplexy when I say I
and why you travel
it.
All over New England every
exactly.
day.
Yeah, it should be in every hospital, and
it should be.
There it's called politics and finance primarily.
What can the listeners out there, is there any like organizations or anything that, can help bring awareness?
One-to-one basis. It's actually, I really do believe that it's going to be women on the grassroots level that are going to change. If they refuse testing that involves radiation and want a safer alternative, I believe that women are the ones who are going to change it. This is not to preclude the necessity of doing a mammogram once something is found. Thermography does not specifically locate a mass to the point where it would be helpful for a surgeon. You know, mammography is needed in that case to pinpoint where in the breast this is.
But you can keep an eye on things without it progressing,
yes.
You know, without, now,
exactly.
Is there some, and I don't know how much proof there is of it, but I know that I've heard some talk out there that they're even finding that having mammograms actually increase the probability of a small, like if you were to, instead of having thermography versus the mammogram as many times as they do once they find something,
mm-hmm.
that it edges it along.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
There are studies, absolutely, that have been done. That information has been written up in the British medical journal called The Lancet more than once. Can't say many times because I'm not sure, but I have seen it, the reference to that at least two or three times.
And basically, the
studies show that, you know, a mammogram will increase your risk of pathology, malignancy, 1% for every mammogram you have, and it's cumulative. And a mammogram is measured in various ways, but one way to measure it is a RAD, which is a radiation absorbed dose.
Mm-hmm.
So that means how much the body is absorbing it. And a mammogram is one RAD. And a chest X-ray is 1/1,000th of a RAD. So there's quite a bit of difference. And
wow.
The type of radiation that is used with mammography is low-level ionizing radiation. So it's really up to the individual to do their homework and know if thermography is a good screening choice for them. Some patients aren't comfortable not doing exactly what their doctors want them to do, and other patients want something that is radiation-free. But a patient, my job really is to educate. As a holistic nurse, I am an educator, and I really believe that my job is to make the awareness more prominent so that a woman will know that
has a choice.
She has a choice, because if you don't know you have a choice, you can't make a choice. And whether you choose to do a radiation-free screening or one that involves radiation really is the individual's choice.
Mm-hmm. And
but
I can tell you from my personal experience, if I would have known ahead of time, I've had two mammograms, and I'm relatively young, and I would have definitely seen you because they hurt. I don't like them.
Well, they do, and that's why I started doing this.
Yes. So what is the research, what kinds of research, or where can people go to find more information about this? This would also be a great place for you to give us your information so that people can learn more about you.
Well, my website is Inside Out Thermography, so that's InsideOutThermography.com. And there, if you look up thermography, you will, there is several websites that have a lot of research on them. And there is one that's called TELETHERM Infrared, Teletherm Infrared. And I bet I have 40 pages of research studies that looking at all the different kinds of surgeries and different kinds of applications. Mm-hmm. And this has so many uses. I even have a couple of dogs that I image mm-hmm. because they've had a cancerous tumor or they've had some hip dysplasia. And mm-hmm. this is used very much in the equine world.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of differences with the equipment. The equipment is a little different. It's a little sturdier, just in case the thermographer gets kicked mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't do equine thermography, but and I don't think anyone in New England does equine thermography. But I know that the doctor whose equipment I have. I have Meditherm equipment. It is medical clinical imaging equipment, and I know that he does do some equine thermography. And in Florida, in the Hawks country, they have access to thermography. But a lot of veterinary clinics do thermography, and, you know, with most things, our pets get better options than we do sometimes.
That's funny.
Thermology online has research. There is research being done on dental.
That would be great.
That'd
be super too.
Temperature distribution in the mouth. They're looking at thermography identifying benign versus malignant tumors. They've found that it is very specific and very sensitive. And the reason I believe that thermography fell out of favor is that back in the late 70s, when mammography and thermography were both really very, very new, there was a study done, and the protocols were not adhered to relative to the thermography. As I understand it, the technicians who did the thermography weren't adequately trained. The testing was done in portable trailers where the temperatures were all over the place. And, of course, the mammograms were done in a hospital, in a lab. Everything was up to par. And what they found, supposedly, was that with the thermography, there were too many false positives, they said. And fortunately, they followed these false positives and found out that over the next decade, almost all of them translated into cancer. So if they had done something at that point to change the physiology,
mm-hmm.
the likelihood that a lot of those tumors would not have evolved. And so I guess in a medical sense, thermography is too right too soon, because what it shows is hard to validate with current medical testing. So if a thermogram shows a problem, it isn't necessarily going to be able to be validated with a structural test. Or if thyroid issues will show up,
mm-hmm.
carotid artery issues will show up, cardiac issues will show up, and it isn't always hot. The temperature, if something is cold, it can be a problem and a dysfunction too. Like chronic pain is very blue, but
mm-hmm.
A new injury that's painful is going to be more red because it
right.
is new. So it depends. The autonomic nervous system, you know, it's a thermography looks at that. So,
I know that I've been fortunate enough to hear a few of your lectures, and you actually can show pictures, you know, of that. Can you tell us if anything's coming up for you that people may be able to? I know it changed the, you know, just watching and hearing what you had to say made a lot of sense to me back then, and I really think that people can benefit from actually seeing what it shows, and you
sure.
know,
Well, on my website, there is some information, but I am going to be at the Women's Living Expo, which is at the community campus in Portsmouth on May 19th.
Okay.
And, you know, in Dover, when I'm there, if anybody wants to call and come into the office, and they're more than welcome to see the equipment, and I can show them some information from a couple of the medical PowerPoints that I do.
Okay.
But I do a lot of talks at various women's groups, mothers groups, holistic moms, book clubs. Again, my function really is to educate. So that's what I try to do. And I'm my challenge is to keep up with the research that is done. And unfortunately, there isn't as much research being done as I'd like to see, but I'm hoping that that will change. And I really, like I've said before, this really should be a hospital and fully covered.
It really should, and I really hope that it is one day.
And at that point, I want to be an educator for it.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, how many people actually are in the country that use this equipment medically, and where does one go to school for such a cool
process? Well, you need to be a medical professional in order to do it, and so that you have the medical background anyway. So a lot of the training is done on your own, and then you go for a certification, and I'm actually the only level 3 certified clinical thermographer in the Northeast. So I actually can train people. I can set up clinics. I can broker equipment. And it is, training with the Meditherm doctors. And it's continuing. I started doing this in 2005. And I make sure that, I keep up with my education, which I do anyway because of my holistic nursing. So I'm going to a conference in Orlando, Florida in September for it. I'm on a council, an advisory council for the American Medical Thermology Association. So, and the American College, in conjunction with the American Medical Thermology Society, are having a conference. So, of course, I'm attending that, and we'll bring back whatever new information. But if there's any questions that anyone has, there are probably maybe 600 people doing this across the country.
Wow.
And California is very heavily seated with thermographers. New England, not so much. We have very few, and there are very few of us that are medical professionals. And, when you are looking at having thermography done, you really want to look at who's doing your thermography and are they credentialed? Are they licensed health professionals? Who are they affiliated with? If they are not affiliated with an organization that is long-standing, and has, the reputation, then you are not as likely to get as complete research information. Just do your own due diligence and look at who is reading these images, because it certainly is easier to take the images than to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that the doctors who are reading them are medical doctors who are trained to read thermology.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that there are more than one doing the reading, because the benefit of having your thermography with an American College, a clinical thermology thermographer, is that obviously we are accountable to our organization and our society, but we have portability, so that somebody in New Hampshire, Mass, Spain, wherever, is moving to Utah, and where is the closest thermographer out there? There is your work will not need to be repeated because it is accessible. All of our data is archived according to patient number. So if your patient number is 126421, then when you move from New Hampshire to Florida to Utah to California to Texas, you take that number to an ACCT thermographer, and it's just like you were coming back to me.
So yeah, so it's you don't have to establish those baselines again and
no,
go all through that.
You don't
okay.
have to do it. And, you know, we all have clinical medical imaging equipment. We don't use industrial equipment. You know, there are some thermography cameras that are industrial, and then they have been retrofitted for medical use. And, you know, they do an adequate job, but I like the medical clinical imaging equipment better. So,
all right. So we're going to go on a quick break. Everybody go and get your tea or coffee, or if anybody happens to be in the neighborhood and wants to drop off coffee for me, that would be great. stretch, do your thing, and we will be right back. Feel free to pick up the phone or run out to the parking lot of your office place and give us a call so we can open up these phone lines for Janice. This is really interesting stuff. The number here is 347-205-9443, and I'll see you on the other side in just a few seconds.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
So welcome back. Happy Hump Day. We are on the line with Janice Anderson, and she has a very interesting technique that she uses, called thermography. I've seen some of her work, and as I told you all last week, Janice and I just kept running into each other. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I looked at her, and I said, hey, how do I know you? She goes, hey, how do I know you? And we had to pick our brains because we're constantly everywhere all the time meeting tons of people, and after a while, your brain file just fills up, and the name tag with a picture doesn't always get put in the right filing spot in the brain. And it took a few seconds, but we realized that this is why we had met. So that was quite funny. Very, very, very cool.
That was interesting.
That was very interesting. It was meant to be, my friend, meant to be. I don't believe in coincidences.
And I'm looking forward to our little experiment that me and Janice have been talking about for some time.
Yeah.
Because we're both very busy, it's really hard for us to hook up at the same time. We are going to attempt to make a video of thermography and so you can see the changes emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Using essential oils, using Reiki to see how the body works, you know, what happens in the body when someone does Reiki, or what happens in the body when someone smells an essential oil, or maybe some other modalities. I also work with acutonics, you know, maybe we can test and see what happens in the nervous system or something. It's just something we've been talking about so people can actually see it live happening. The physiological change in the body, and I'm really excited to do that. And when we do that, we'll be happy to put it up on our various Facebook pages and all of that so you can all see it, and maybe, who knows, maybe we'll demonstrate it somewhere. But I'd really love to
see.
Yeah, I would love to do that live, just, you know, at a fair or anywhere, you know, just to see. I know I did an experiment with at the Children's Museum, surely by accident, and it was this little room that, and it's this thing you put on your head, and it's you move this ball by being calm, so it registers how calm you are. And of course, my little Reiki 2 10-year-old was in the room and she was winning. But then I helped the other child that was working with her and took out my peace and calming and waved it under their nose. And we had a lot of fun with that. The kids were, every kid that had smelled peace and calming could get the ball clearly to the other side of the table very easily. So that's kind of what I want to see in the thermography, the different colors. And, of course, Janice knows how to read them, and I don't. But I would really love to see what happens with different, you know, modalities and different things happening, even, you know, music. I'm sure someone listening to, you know, classical music versus, you know, that whatever, I don't know, heavy metal stuff that people like to listen to, what it actually would do in the body, that would be very interesting to see.
Well, the myofascia would be affected, that lining underneath your skin, you know,
mm-hmm.
certainly by stress and things of that nature. But I do have an acupuncture slide that shows thermography in 5-minute intervals on a knee. So if there's any acupuncturists out there that would like a visual to help them explain what they do to those that either are just unfamiliar with it or are very skeptical,
mm-hmm.
they can certainly email me and I will send them a copy of this slide via email so that they can
That's
print
awesome.
It out and use it, because it is, it's always wonderful to have a visual so that you can see what is actually going on, and because it shows that this patient came in with a very, very inflamed sore knee, and after the needles had been inserted at 5-minute intervals, there was an image taken, and at the end of the half an hour, the knee was very cool and much calmer and not painful. So it absolutely validated and showed visually the effects of the acupuncture.
I actually believe we have Dr. Ian Baer on next week.
Is it next week? I think so.
I'm looking it up now. He is an acupuncturist, so maybe you can call in and chat with him.
Sure.
And he's out of Portsmouth. He will be on, 5/23, so the week after.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that would be, because you can call in any time.
Absolutely.
You know,
but that would be interesting to
mm-hmm.
yeah,
see that as
definitely.
Well.
But it just, there are so many things that it can do
mm-hmm.
that it just seems, and it isn't just for, you know, cancer screening, but it certainly does. I mean, I can share a personal story. My husband has okayed me to share this, but, well, of course, he was my my model when I was learning, so he would gladly disrobe and show, let me take images of all his, you know, his head to his toe. And when I was taking images of his chest, there was an area that was blue over his heart, and he had had a condition called paroxysmal atrial tachycardia, which is just, you know, of no known cause. Maybe once a year his heart would just race. It could be when he was sitting down, or it could have been when he was running. It didn't necessarily depend on the activity. And when we took the image to his doctor, I was trained at Duke. His doctor was trained at Duke, so his doctor was familiar with thermography, and he said, oh, my goodness, this shows the paroxysmal atrial tachycardia. It's showing as a dysfunction. Well, what we didn't know, I mean, that's an electrical dysfunction, and, yes, that would show, but what we didn't know at the time is that my husband had a hole in his heart that he had from birth, and had he not had the paroxysmal atrial tachycardia, we probably would have looked closer at that, and he would have been able to have had that closed sooner than he did, you know,
mm-hmm.
after a stroke. So he, that I believe that the stress of his life and, you know, how all the perfect storm falls into place, that
mm-hmm.
that hole in his heart allowed this to happen. So, but it showed it, and it showed it years before it was a problem.
Hmm. That's amazing.
It is.
Now, do you work with children as well?
I do work with children. My youngest patient was 3. And 3, aww, really, the body is changing so fast,
mm-hmm,
that at that time, it really isn't a great test. But again, it doesn't have any radiation in it. And if there is something really haywire, it will provide more information. It can be used as a tool. And this child is having mobility issues. And the 7 or 8 years old is really probably the earliest age where thermography would be recommended for a situation. But it shows GI dysfunction. It will show osteoarthritic conditions because of the discomfort generated and because of the change in the body physiology. And my oldest patient is 97. And
mm-hmm,
I think at this point that she probably can skip her next thermogram. You know, that her body, the cells are dividing so slow at this point that she could have a year off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But she
now
loves
what,
coming in. So,
what? How did you get involved with thermography? I know that you're an RN and a holistic nurse and a meditation specialist. How did your path evolve?
Well, as a nurse, I really did a lot of my screenings and things as I was recommended because, of course, I was compliant. And then in the early 90s, I became less compliant, so I did less and less and less.
I learned from the best.
And then in 2003, when I had my last mammogram, it was so painful that I determined that this really wasn't a holistic way to look at my body and that there must be another way to accomplish this. So that's when I started researching and found that thermography was certainly going to work well for me. It just sort of set with my lifestyle, with my belief system. And not that I am never going to have another mammogram, but for now I'm choosing not. So
mm-hmm,
it is
when there's
definitely a
much
more holistic approach.
And, you know, like you said, you're not trying to negate benefits of,
right.
Right. But if you can just have these ongoing until hopefully you never have to have a mammogram,
right.
But when it gets into an area where you need to, that, you know, that people know that, you know where that limit is. And you have to, you know, I just know from talking with you and all the education you've provided at different seminars that I've attended that it really makes a lot more sense to do the thermography as a preventative and then saving, you know, the mammograms and x-rays and stuff for the big guns or emergency medicine. That's one thing that people really misinterpret about in integrative medicine is that we're trying to, you know, do something complete opposite of allopathic. We want to find the balance, what
right.
works for each individual's body. And if doing things more naturally, you know, if you're in a car accident and you need that emergency room is going to save your life. You know, that x-ray is going to tell you where a broken bone is so they can set it right away.
That's right.
You know, and that's what people misunderstand about what we try to do. And
it's definitely a balance, and that's important.
It
you
is.
You don't ever want, again, you need to look at both sides and
mm-hmm.
find that blend. But one area, there's been a lot of controversy about mammograms and what age to start them, and we're finding now a lot of younger women with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And with mammogram studies, because premenopausal breast tissue tends to be very dense, or there's a higher incidence of fibrocystic and cystic breasts now than
mm-hmm.
before, it seems. These types of tissues are viewed very well thermographically, especially younger women. So this would be a good tool for younger women, especially women at high risk, to start looking at this when they are younger. And so it does, the body does not perceive premenopausal breast tissue as dysfunctional, even though it is dense. And thermography also is a very good way to identify the probability of inflammatory breast cancer, which, because it isn't structural, structural testing does not find. And because it is an inflammatory condition and most often tends to grow in sheets, it can have a mass or a lump associated with it, but most often it does not. So by doing thermography, you can sort of have the best tool to look and see, is this exactly what we're looking at? And again, thermography does not think that premenopausal breast tissue is dysfunctional. So, because mammograms really, in all the literature, it does pretty much define that mammograms are not ideal for young women.
Now, for those of us who are single parents out there, and actually I know quite a few people who do not have health insurance, is this covered under health insurance, or is this something you'd have to pay out of pocket anyway? It is not at this point.
You have to pay out of pocket. It is reasonable, however, the American College recommends that a breast thermogram be $150 and a breast baseline, of course, at $300. And I believe I'm the only thermographer in the country that consistently discounts breast thermography. My annual breast thermograms, the base is $150 less 10%. So an annual in my office is $135, and a breast baseline is $250. So, and I do take credit cards, but I do work with people, too. If they don't have funds, then, you know, we work on a plan. You know, you pay me so much and upfront, and then you continue to pay until your next visit. And so I'm willing to work with people. Because I try to make it as affordable as possible and still cover my costs. So
that's very cool and very grateful that you do that, and thank you for giving your prices out. Now, can you give us your website again? It's a great time.
Sure.
We have about 30 minutes left. So.
Okay. It's insideouttermography.com. So that's insideout. thermography.com.
Very cool. So I'm actually so intrigued by this, and my daughter's been having some tummy troubles, and I've taken her to two gastro pediatrics that have just given me the runaround as they typically do. So I'm actually going to connect with you and maybe we can videotape that process and throw that up on YouTube as well. That would be pretty cool. She's going to be a very colorful kid. So,
good.
She's lots of energy. Very
color
very,
is good.
She's a light. So,
you want me to talk about fluffing?
Yes.
Yeah, lymphatic drainage. I was fortunate enough to meet this woman from New Jersey at a holistic nursing conference, and she is also does massage therapy, and she had noticed that so many women were congested along the sides of their body and into their breast area. So she developed this technique called fluffing, P-H-L-U-F-F-I-N-G. And she has a really cute, actually a book called The Happy Breast Book, and her name is CherylChapman.com. Well, that's not her name, that's her website, but it's Cheryl Chapman.
That's okay.
And
people try to do the .com.
She taught me how to be a fluffing instructor, so I teach everyone that comes into my office how to fluff.
And, we should have fluffing parties.
Absolutely. 1 minute a day could relieve pain, lumps, and actually encourage the flow of lymph fluid so that your breasts are soft, healthy, and happy. And on the cover of her book, it is these two breasts sort of in caricature, and they have eyes, and one is winking, and lips and things, and it's Lucy and Gussie are out of their bras, and they're speaking up. So fluffing
very
is safe, it's easy, it's gentle, and I recommend that women, when they get up in the morning, they just lean over and lovingly cup their breasts and just gently, ever so gently, just move their breasts up and down for about 20 movements. And then when they're in the shower, do the same thing. So that if you do about 40 fluffs a day, both breasts, 40, what you will see is a reduction in lymphatic congestion. And I can see that thermographically. And it's pretty amazing when a patient comes in and I'll say, oh, you're fluffing. And they'll say, yes, I am. And or I'll say, have you been fluffing as much as you should? No, not really. So it's pretty evident when
I'll
somebody
fluffs.
I'll show
you how to do it later, Rusty.
In my house, I'm sitting here and I have so many things that I'd like to say because I'm part comedian. So I'm sitting here thinking about Friday night when we went dancing and how many men were fluffing. And that's also the other word that we use for tooting in my house. So I'm having a blast with this conversation.
Okay, well, fluffing is actually T for personal, H for hand, L for lymphatic, U for undulation, and F is flow, and F is facilitation. So it's personal hand, lymphatic undulation, flow, facilitation. So, and you can enlist help as long as they're properly trained. And sometimes it takes longer than others, but, you know.
This is great.
I've had people bring
it's
in their partners. And it is funny. And, you know, in New England, everyone tends to be so stuffy and, oh my, I'm not touching my body. You know, God forbid I even acknowledge I have a body. So
yeah, and that's philosophically for me such a contradiction because when we're little, that's all we do.
Exactly.
You know, and then we're conditioned socially to stop appreciating and to be more shameful and more.
That's right.
That's a different show all within itself.
And that's a way to love yourself, honestly, in a funny way and in a serious way.
Fluffing, I mean, when you lovingly intend to help your breasts, it really makes a difference. I think that a lot of the fibrocystic problems change. PMS issues are decreased. It just is a wonderful way just to, you back when you move lymph, you're increasing the T cells to protect the breast area. So you're actually doing something preventative and it is just a wonderful way. It actually enhances anybody who's breastfeeding, and it reduces tenderness during pregnancy or, like I said, at TMS. And it's just for a much healthier breast. And one thing that we need to get out there is that underwire bras are constricting.
Mm-hmm.
So they constrict lymph fluid. So even though they are very fashionable, they are not that healthy. I have a talk that I do, and it's called, Is Your Bra a Booby Trap? So.
I can't stand underwire bras, but one of the reasons why I stopped using, especially the metal ones, was because I used to travel a lot. I used to travel in and out of airports, and I was always the one that went off.
Yep.
Like, nope, I'm just going to sports bras. That's it.
Yep, much better. Much better. So, and, you know, you should be braless as much as you can. So,
yes.
That's my philosophy anyway.
And it's funny, the allopathic doctors will tell you, big-breasted women like myself, that I should sleep in my bra.
Never,
because
ever
the support,
sleep in
the
your
support
bra.
Of, I never, ever do, just saying. But, you know, it's just so funny the difference in, you know, the advice, and I can see how people can get confused
mm-hmm.
and be a little bit more, you know, not as eager to look at different options, because I know when I started my journey into the wellness practices, there's so much out there in the internet. Although there's a lot of good information and things, there's also a lot of bad information out there, and it's really hard to distinguish it all. What I love about what Janice does is, again, it's not invasive. There's no, you know, you can do it as much as you need to, because you're not worried about, you know, that overload of radiation and all the different things that you can see with it. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, very soon, because I want my daughters to, you know, my daughters aren't ever going to have a mammogram, just saying, unless they absolutely have to. But, you know, there's a lot more choices out there for healthcare
yeah.
for women, and Janice is one of those pioneers that goes out there. And how many offices do you work out of, Janice?
I actually work out of 11 different offices throughout Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine. And I don't go into Connecticut, but I have an associate who does take care of Connecticut. And I am about in as many places as I can physically be without cloning
mm-hmm.
myself. So, and I do try. I'm always in my office on Thursdays, and
mm-hmm.
I'm always in Dover on Fridays. So Monday through Wednesday are the days that I tend to have my travel. So
mm-hmm.
I basically do 6 weeks of travel, and then I'm 6 weeks in my primary practice. So
and your primary practice
is
in Byfield, too. Yeah, and so the listeners out there from all over, everywhere, if you're in the New England area, chances are there is a clinic or a place where Janice does her magic out there. So go to her website and find out, you know, where she is and how close she is to you. I totally suggest if you're looking into that's kind of thing, that Janice is your girl. She's, like she said, she's the only one certified in the Northeast, and she's very passionate about what she does, and, you know, a very kind friend of mine who has helped me along my journey. She met me in my infantile stages of finding what is my passion and my, and we share a passion of oils as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what I love about our industry is that we're so supportive of each other. We don't, there's not a lot of competition, because I would rather refer them to someone I know and trust than to just, you know, oh, well, you know, well, this isn't working for you. We really take wellness very seriously. And Janice is one of the people I know that, you know, if I want to run something by, she's one of the people I call, you know, because you research so much, you know, your whole, you know, life is devoted to finding more and more about how you can help people. So, you know, I really thank you for all of the research that you've done all these years and, you know, helping to, and hopefully soon we'll be, you know, it'll be mainstream. I believe that it should be.
I hope so.
You know, But yeah, so go ahead and go to her website and check out, you know, where her locations are. She's all over the place and she travels a lot, so I'm sure you can find her somewhere. Now, outside of New England, is there a lot more, you said? I know you mentioned California.
California is really the hotbed. Of course, California is the start of everything.
Yes.
You know, if something
absolutely
is going to be new and innovative and changing, it's really going to start in California first. And
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of thermography clinics in California, which is great. So hopefully that means that there's going to be a lot more
mm-hmm.
in New England and in the rest of the country. But there, in the Midwest, I have an associate who always comes with me to the Holistic Nursing Conference, and we do imaging at the conference, and she has 10 different locations, too. So
oh.
I think that a lot of us tend to travel because
mm-hmm.
there aren't that many locations that are flooded with thermographers. So, and any practitioner who practices holistically does want this as
mm-hmm.
an alternative available to their patients. So we get asked to go these different places, and we do try and accommodate as much as we can these requests.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm very blessed to be able to do what I do. It has been an amazing journey, and when you're almost as old as dirt, you get a chance to do a lot of research.
You certainly don't look it, that's for sure.
Well, again, it's all those holistic modalities keeping
yes,
me young.
Yes, it is. Yes, I agree. I actually had a patient that I don't work with a lot, but she still flabbergasts me. I think you know her, Sylvia Burke. She,
yeah.
I just did vibrational raindrop on her last week, and she is 87 years old. It
she's
still floors me.
Amazing,
she's an amazing
woman.
And she
absolutely
looked at me. She hadn't seen me probably in about a year, and she said, "What happened to you?" I go, "What?" She goes, "You look 10 years younger." I said, "Are you kidding?" And she said, "No, something's happened with you."
Changing
you know,
her vibration.
Yeah, and that's what I've
right.
been doing. I've been working a lot on myself over the past year. And,
meditation.
You know, there's a lot of things. I've been going through little trials and tribulations in my life. And one of the things that I find that I've given up more easily than I thought was the TV.
Yeah.
I'm not quite. I only have it because I have small children that like to watch it here and there. But it really, I did a little experiment about, you know, how the TV makes you feel, and I'd be interested to know what would set you off in the thermography world if you sit in front of the TV. If it changes
well,
you physiologically,
they do. They've proven, at least in a neurological sense, that if you have it just overstimulates your synapses,
mm-hmm.
and they're just backfiring crazy. And I'm not a TV person at all.
No,
I do watch movies every now and then, but there's just
well,
so many other things to do.
Well, the electromagnetic force of that is
must be high
when you start looking into any kind of information on what EMF can do to you. A computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, a hairdryer, a microwave, you know,
mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
And TV and any kind of cell phone, any electronic, there's an electromagnetic field effect on all of that, and it can be quite detrimental. And there are some people who actually are so sensitive that they get ill. It's almost
mm-hmm.
like having a chemical sensitivity, only it's an energy sensitivity, and they get headaches
mm-hmm.
and they can't go on the computer. And you know,
I do with cell phones.
Yeah, it really can be very, very bad. So there are different things that you can do. Around your computer, you can put crystals.
Mm-hmm. And those salt lamps, I heard that
yeah.
The salt lamps that you can buy that have
Himalayan
the little light bulb
salt.
Inside. Yeah,
yeah,
the Himalayan salt lamps, what they do is they give off negative ions, which create positive energy. So it actually
right.
negates what the computer gives off and all that. And if you ever
right.
go into Journey to Wellness, I think every single one of us have one in our room. Also frankincense, Janice. I've been reading a lot about
oil.
Smelling frankincense.
Oils diffusing in my office, and it's interesting because even my patients who tend to have chemical sensitivities,
mm-hmm.
because the oils are organic and therapeutic grade,
yeah.
it is rare that anyone will notice that there's a scent.
Well, we were at the expo,
nice.
And I noticed that sometimes, too, people, it will facilitate a detoxing, which starts with a headache. That's one of the number one signs of people when they're dislodging the heavy metals from their brain. Essential oils actually can remove the heavy metals from your brain. So when that starts to take effect, you can get a headache, and you need to drink water to flush all of the toxins out. And I was diffusing at the fair, and I talked to the person in the head. I'm like, if anyone complains, just come and tell me, and I'll shut it off. Because I'm so used to them that
right.
I can tolerate a lot more exposure to them. I have it on a timer in my house every 2 hours for 15 minutes. I mean, and I, you know, I'm just have a lot more of a tolerance, I guess you would say. A few people asked me if I could shut it off because they were getting a headache, and I just laughed. I said, of course. And then I proceeded to explain what was going on, but certainly don't want anybody to be uncomfortable.
No.
But they're more associated with, have that in there? They thought it was an allergen. Whenever anybody has that reaction to essential oils, it's because they think they're having an allergic reaction, which is really funny because people can't have an allergic reaction to essential oils. But I'm very intrigued to see what we see on our little video when we finally do get together.
I think that's going to be fascinating. And have you had Erica Rock on the show yet?
Yes, we have. And
okay.
I started that global experiment
week.
So I'm writing a little bit about that and my little journey. I got to meet her at the fair, actually. So.
She just did a meditation with the Andara Stones.
She's doing another one next week, right?
Yeah, very, very interesting. And you mentioned Michelle Lowry.
Yes.
Michelle is an amazing animal communicator.
She really is. She's an amazing person.
Fantastic. She has just, we have a dog that was a rescue and had some issues. And she worked with him so masterfully and so gently. And, I mean, even all the work I do, I'm just too close to him. And
mm-hmm.
he's not my dog anyway. He's my husband's dog. And it was profoundly changing for this little dog. She just is wonderful. So with her work with Reiki and
mm-hmm.
her shamanic work that she does.
Her and I are actually going to get together and work with animals. She wants to learn more about the oils as well. And I'm just learning on how the application with animals, because you have to be very careful because their metabolism is a lot higher than ours, so you use a lot less oils with them. So, you know, I've been doing research and how to facilitate that, but she's very interested. And I believe she had invited Rusty to go.
Evidently, Echo wants to meet me, so I'm going to go meet Echo next week. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. That's her horse, right?
Yes.
She's
great. It was, this whole process is fabulous. I could not be more grateful to be, you know,
once
the messenger.
Once your eyes are opened, mm-hmm.
it's amazing.
It is amazing.
This year there's a lot of energy out there, openness. I'm feeling people being more open, and
mm-hmm.
it's just recent, like really in the last 4 weeks.
It's been a shift.
There's been there was a lot of resistance from October through the winter, but there, you could feel something really happening, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then all of a sudden, in the last few weeks, there's so many people more open to, you know, meditation and going within themselves and being kind to one another and just simplicity. And I think once we get back to all that, I mean, even though the technology that you display is, you know, we need that still in our life, but we also need to go back to basics and, you know, learn how to unwind and not let the negatives of the world affect us in a negative way.
Yeah, we do need to unplug and to be a little more simple in our activities. And I think that people are searching for these things because what is there isn't working.
That's right.
Just
That's
not
right.
working for them anymore. And everything that they used to do isn't producing satisfactory results anymore. And mm-hmm. I think that there's just more chaos and frenzy around it. And so people are searching. They're searching for things that are going to be allow them to find inner peace.
And they're also searching, you know, they're taking more control of their own health care by, you know, not necessarily is, you know, what I do in aromatherapy going to be perfect for, say, Rusty, but could be perfect for you. You know, us as integrative medical professionals, we need to also know that you may not be the right person for them. But I'm a big recommender because my goal is for that person to be completely comfortable with what's going on with their healthcare and their life and how, you know, and that may not, you know, I've had clients that have been with me for 2 years and then all of a sudden I don't see them. I just wish them well and hope that, you know, their healing continues and whatever journey that, you know, is theirs. And that's what I love about, you know, what you do and, you know, all the wonderful women at Journey to Wellness, Terry Vanderlyn, and, you know, all of us have a common goal that we just want people to know what their choices are.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you the 6-minute warning and feel free, Janice, to give us, you know, an overview of what you really want the listeners today to take away. And your website one more time because we're closing out the show. And any well wishes or any shout-outs that you have, that's the space for you.
Well, I am so grateful for all of the practitioners who have been my team over the years and continue as my team. I've been encouraged since 1992 to do what I do. Any questions? info@insideoutthermography.com, which the www.insideoutthermography.com is my website. And I think what I really hope that everyone takes away from this is that there are alternatives, and we really do need to do our own due diligence. We need to be our own best advocates. And that way we can truly make the rest of our life the best of our life because we have these wonderful modalities that are open to us and we need to explore what will work for us. And certainly with the thermography, it isn't new, like I said, but it is new to a lot of people. So if anyone has a question for me, I am always open to answer it, and I love to talk about breast health and different options that are available to all of us. So I thank you both so much for giving me this opportunity, and I do look forward to working on that project together with you, Amy, and I certainly will look forward to seeing you again, Rusty.
Absolutely. Right. We'll circle back around for sure some way, somehow. Very cool. And thank you very much for coming on the show. I'm really hoping that it inspires others to look for alternatives. Definitely, you know, a safe, harmless method that's fairly affordable. Yes, it's out of pocket, but unfortunately, that even with the way health insurance is going for most people that I've heard, the deductibles have like tripled anyway, so it's going to come out of your pocket anyway.
I made a comment once recently where my insurance changed quite drastically, and the only real I'm not sick hardly at all. I'm blessed with that, but I do like to see a chiropractor and my chiropractic copayment went up to $40. He only charges $55. So, you know, what benefit is that? So I basically am paying the insurance company to have the privilege to pay for my health care, is basically what I'm doing. I'm paying double. I'm paying them to have the privilege to pay for my health care.
So,
well,
anyway,
I've heard. Yeah, you have to have health insurance. Yeah. And, you know, again, almost everything that is really truly good for you, you're going to not be covered. So.
Yeah, not that's, you know, and hopefully that's going to change. And, you know, maybe someday we can find a way for us, all of us fabulous women and men. There are some men holistic practitioners out there, and get together and really make a stand to make, you know, this part of insurance that we pay for, because it is our, it should be our choice on how we approach our health care. And I appreciate you, Janice, for all that you do, all the endless nights that you stay up researching and to make our breasts strong and healthy and help us keep us that way.
Take care of your girls.
Yes, and don't
so
forget
they can
to flush.
Be healthy and happy. Don't forget to flush. Definitely not. Thank you.
Okay.
Janice, have a great day. Thank you again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, so happy hump day. That was Janice Anderson. You can check her out at InsideOutThermography.com. How groovy was that? That was pretty, pretty interesting. I just love the fact that we all are learning so much through this journey on the radio. It's very, very cool. I want to give Amy a second, and then I want to leave you guys with a note before we sign out, check out, high five, and talk to you next week. And I get to fill you in on the gluten-free expo I'm going to. I'm going to be fat.
Well, I just wanted to say that if anyone can catch one of Janice's lectures, you got a lot of information today, but to actually see the graphics that she has to show you and the differences is really it really brings it home what she's doing and how innovative what she does is. And it's really important for us to know about this so we can get it more mainstream. Who's our guest next week? I'm having menopausal brain cramps.
That's okay. We're almost out of time. I believe it's Larry Schneider of Simply Saris, and that's lots of gluten-free food, and he's got great inspirational story.
Great.
We're down to 2 minutes, and I love you all. I think you are beautiful. I think you are braver than you believe you are. I think you're stronger than you think you are. I think you're smarter than you give yourself credit for. And if I've learned anything over this last year, you are more loved than you can even imagine. High five, live life, and we will listen to you next week.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.